What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community. I always think it is a true treat, and it is a true treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Profits over profits, Hallie. How are you?
I am blessed. How are things going with you, Gray?
Hallie, I am just a buzz. I spent the entire weekend with my new lady friend, Jen Hatmaker.
That's so exciting. I love Jen Hatmaker.
I know, Hatmaker. Anyway, it was just amazing.
What did you do?
Well, she flew me to see another Broadway show. Yeah, this time it was Waitress.
How was it?
You know, I have no idea. I didn't really get it. But, you know, J-Hat, she loves the Broadway, so I'm into it too.
Oh, yeah. J-Hat, is that her nickname you have for her?
Well, yeah, that's a little nickname I have for her. But actually, you know, apparently now we have one of those couples nicknames on Twitter, and people are calling us Gray J, and they're also calling us Has Hat.
Has Hat.
Yeah. Yeah. People keep saying it Has Hat, and I'm like, it's Has Hat.
It's pronounced Has.
That's right. Anyway, it's kind of, you know, we're like a celebrity couple.
You're a celebrity. You're in a celebrity couple.
It's
Gray.
Been a whirlwind, Hallie, and we are taking it slow, you know, because it's good because there's just such complete alignment there.
How do you know?
Well, I wanted to show you this because I really think this is a God thing. Let me pull it up here.
Okay. Was that her Instagram?
Yeah, this is her Instagram. It's so cool. Okay, I'm going back to this post that she made early in September before we had started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, quote, Jen, are you ready to start dating?
Ooh.
And, you know, she goes through this whole thing, which is, you know, she's just hanging out. She's got all her kids, 5 kids.
Whoa.
And she says, when pray tell am I going to date? I don't have any time to weed through a bunch of malformed, dysfunctional middle-aged men with unresolved daddy issues. I need one of you to deliver me a fully developed, grown ASS man. These are my demands. She likes to, you know, every now and then she lets a word slip, which I, you know, it's kind of edgy. She says, number one, He must be my two favorite things, funny and smart. I need
that's
him
you.
To match me for wits. I know. I mean, I don't know if I'm funny, but I'm definitely smart.
You're and a funny lot of people, and super smart.
Okay, thanks
You're
so much,
You're hilarious.
Number two, I need receipts from his therapist. Must have already worked his S-H-I out. We're old. I mean, sometimes I'm kind of working with her on the language, but, you know, I did say I've never been to therapy because I basically don't have issues. So that's great. Number three, must be easy. I can't do difficult. I can't do moody. I'm an Enneagram 3. Let's be charming and hilarious together. I'm also an Enneagram 3. Well, although I did take the Enneagram test and I'm basically a perfect circle of all of them. I'm kind of a balance
really?
Of all of them. Yeah. Must love fun. Number four.
That's you.
Okay, totally.
Yeah.
I'm the most fun.
Yeah.
She says, my people come with me. We're a package deal. Totally. Love family. Love a brother. Love a dad. Haven't met him yet. And she says, number six, I'm not going to your weird mega church. I like Christian guys, but don't be weird. Yeah, well, and I said, guess what? Twin Hills is not weird, so no problem there.
Not at all. We're not a weird one. There are some weird ones, I'm sure, but we're like the best one.
Totally. And then she says, please deeply love your work. Check. Your people. Check. Your kids. Don't have them, so check. And yourself. Check, check. Please be a good tipper, of course. And please be nice to strangers and have your own 401k, which is, I took my whole 401k and I put it in crypto. But yeah, I mean, we're just totally, totally in a line. It's so exciting. It's just a God thing.
It was like she was describing you to God.
Weeks
and then
before,
God just delivered you right to her on a silver platter.
Isn't that amazing? We are having such
cool.
a good time. Anyway, don't want to jinx it, knock on wood, and I'll keep praying about it, but I'll keep you updated.
Oh, she is so cool.
How was your week, Hallie?
Well, we had a thing come up this week about swearing and cursing. Like you were saying, sometimes she'll drop little naughty words,
totally,
you know.
But not in front of the kids.
Yeah, and just to be edgy, like Mark Driscoll or something. Anyway, we had a thing come up with swearing because I almost got in a car accident while I was trying to make a left on Keystone Avenue. Yeah.
That's such a dangerous intersection.
And my son Day, he was in the passenger seat, and when he thought he was about to be smashed by an F-150 who was running a red light, he goes, oh my God. And once I knew we were safe, I said, Day, that was a swear.
He knows better. Yeah.
It's sinful. And I want you to ask God for forgiveness, and I want you to do it right now. And he goes, for what now? And I said, for swearing.
Taking the Lord's name in vain, buddy.
Yeah. And he goes, Mom, what is swearing? And I said, it's using bad words. And he said, so a swear is a bad word. And I says, yes. And he goes, so what does it mean when someone says, like, I swear I will honor your request? And I was like, oh, that means a promise. And he goes, so not a bad word. And I says, yes, you know. And he goes, so a swear is a promise. And I said, yes. And so he said, so a bad swear would be deceiving someone, you know, not saying an arbitrary word. And I said, well, yes. And he said, so what are swear words again? And I said, Day, just call them curse words. Just call them curse words,
okay,
honey.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's what you're getting hung up on. And Day goes, well, what about when you curse someone, Mom? Like, what does that mean to curse someone? And I said, well, it means you're wishing them harm. And he said, so cursing is intending harm to someone. And I said, yes, that's true. And he goes, so then what are these bad words that are off limits and why? If it's not, you know, wishing harm upon someone or breaking a promise.
I mean, at this point, are you just kind of wishing you had gotten hit by the F-150 so you could be dealing with that rather than all of this stuff?
I would have already been at the pearly gates in the arms of Jesus. And I was trying to, like, keep my, you know, logical, my, you know, my better, more wise brain than his. And I said, Day, curse words or swear words are vulgar, okay? That is what we know.
Right.
And he said, so, but the word itself is arbitrary. Like a word has no intrinsic value. It's just a word. And I says, yes, but it's someone's intention with that word. And he said, oh, okay. So like when you say guns don't shoot people, people shoot people. And I said, yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Right.
The way the person uses a word is what makes it good or bad. The words themselves are not intrinsically bad. It's the intention behind them. Like I said, like on The Good Place. I love that TV show with that beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl, Kristen Bell.
Oh, she's the best.
She's so pretty.
She's the best. She's Christian too.
And she doesn't swear on that show.
At least she looks like it. Yeah.
She 100% looks Christian, and she doesn't swear on the show. Grace, oh, she
so,
goes,
and she's so funny. She's so funny.
It's so funny. She goes, "Mother forker," or she says, "Son of a bench," or she'll go, "Bull shirt."
Oh my goodness, that is so hilarious. That's so good. I can't stop thinking I love about that how show. Funny
and,
that is.
And Day was like, "Okay, so saying gosh instead of God is like Kristen Bell saying fork me instead of like f me." You know what I mean?
Right.
And he goes, "So can I say those words like that? You know, like mother forker and stuff?" And I said, "No, Day, because I'll be able to tell your intention is to say a bad word, which is what makes the word bad. So then go fork yourself actually becomes a true bad word." And he said, "So fork can be vulgar?" And I says, "Yes. If I know that you're trying to say it to hurt me, and it would hurt me, even if you fake sweared." And at this point, I always see him coming, and I was ready for it. And I said, "Day, don't change the subject and get me all caught up in my contrary logic. You use the name of the Lord in vain, and that is a big commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments."
Totally.
And he goes, "If taking the name of the Lord in vain is saying, 'Oh my God,' when someone startles you, that sounds like a victimless crime. If you're saying that the words aren't bad, but it's the intention." And Day said, "Maybe taking the name of the Lord in vain isn't saying, 'Oh my God,' when someone scares you. Maybe taking the name of the Lord in vain is what happens when any church or church person uses words to cause harm, like saying things like 'love the sinner, hate the sin.' That's actually using the name of the Lord in vain. Religion that harms people is using the Lord's name in vain." And I said, "No, Day, you can only break that commandment by saying things like 'Christ's sakes' and 'Oh Lord' and stuff like that." And I set him straight. And that's the thing about parenting, is you have to be consistent. And I have consistently stayed consistent on this one of swearing and cursing. You know, no bad language is used in my house.
That's right. And when my lady friend J-Hat uses him, you know, it's like a responsible gun owner. She knows what she's doing with him.
Yeah, she knows how to use it.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Just like Jesus stores the Word of God in our hearts, our guest today runs a God-honoring storage facility here in town. It is CKD. Welcome to the pod.
I am so happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on. A big fan, I gotta say. And just to be considered part of the ministry.
That is so awesome.
Well, we're big fans of you.
That's right. I mean, CKD, I would say that the business that you run here in town is one of the most popular because if you need storage space, I mean, your billboards are everywhere. And I would say a lot of Christians, flock to put the stuff in one of your buildings. Tell us a little bit about the exciting world of storage.
Well, I have been a self-storage manager for nigh on 2 decades now. Oh. I know, I look young, but I started early, and it's a calling, and it's one of the best things that I have ever done with my life. I can't imagine living another life because people have stuff.
That's right.
And people have to have a place to put that stuff.
That's right.
And when they do need a place to put that stuff, they come to me and I help people. You know, I make people's lives better. I make people's houses decluttered.
Totally.
That's a calling. Uh-huh. That's a calling for me.
Yeah. And I feel like you're the perfect example of that Bible verse that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Like here you are, you're running a business that could be considered secular. You know, like what does, me putting my daughter's bedroom set in a storage facility have to do with God? But see, I feel like you're really doing the real work of God because you're ministering to these people who they just think, you know what, we're not using the waterbed. Mm-hmm. Let's put it in storage. But then you have a voice. You have their ear.
I do. And I, it's not something that my company even mandates, but I, the personal touch that I add, I go through everything that people put in the storage. I ask them questions about it, and I make sure it's the right kind of things that a Christian would need to store. Oh. So for instance, you mentioned, why would I want to store my daughter's bedroom furniture? Well, the good Lord will always deliver us more daughters.
That's right.
We never know when we are done having children.
That's right.
And I'm encouraging my patrons to have as many children as possible because we need more Christians in this world. We need more Christians in this world.
And what does that really look like when you've got someone and you're kind of in the storage facility and maybe they're not responding to the word that you're saying to them? What are some incentives that you give them to really like help them understand Christ and Jesus specifically?
Well, there's the carrot and the stick. There's the carrot and the stick. I always start with the carrot by offering them a carrot, but I always end with a stick.
Oh, so you're really giving them a real carrot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I keep carrots in the office. I keep carrots in the front office, but I always end with a stick, which is when I pull out the contract that they signed. Now, not even mandated by my company. My company doesn't even know that I do it, but I always sign a Christian behavior clause right into that contract. And people are so eager to dump their stuff, they just sign. And so they look at this and they say, a Christian behavior clause? Well, I guess, are the things that I'm storing for the Lord? Or are the things that I'm storing for me? And if they're for you, that's something that you can take to a different storage facility because it's not welcome in our space.
I love that. Awesome. I mean, Jesus did say, give everything you have to the poor. But for those of us who can't really do that right now, I think we really do need to take that stuff and give it to someone who knows that it is Christian stuff for safekeeping. I think that's a great idea.
Would Jesus have thrown something away? No. Mm-mm. He handed out the baskets. Mm-hmm. He duplicated the fish and the loaves. He wanted more. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was never getting rid of stuff.
That's right.
That's one of the least Christian things you can do.
I would highly doubt Marie Kondo knows Christ. Goodness gracious, mm-mm. You can tell she's trying to get rid of stuff. And you're right, Jesus multiplies stuff. Now, does mm-hmm. it greet...
What does Marie Kondo say? Does this spark joy? Where else are there sparks? Right. Hell?
See? Right.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
I love
right.
that.
Where there's sparks.
If that's not the work of the devil, if that's not the work of the devil, I don't know what
is. What are examples of Christian items that you would store, but then also non-Christian items?
So I believe truly in my heart of hearts, every item can be a Christian item. You mentioned a waterbed earlier. Someone wants to store a waterbed. Well, that could easily fall into the work of a non-Christian item. I mean, as we all know, beds are for procreation and sleep. A waterbed sounds like a little too much fun to me, but what's a waterbed full of? Water. What do we need water for?
Baptisms.
What is a waterbed except a large baptismal font that someone can put in their storage for an indefinite period of time unless they do not pay for 30, 60, or 90 days, in which place we will have a storage auction.
Oh, that is awesome. I remember, you know, one time my kids were doing a skit, and they used a waterbed to kind of show Jesus when he pulled Peter out of the boat, and he said, you know, walk on the water with me, and it looked awesome when he was walking across the waterbed. It really looked real. So, yeah, baptism, also good, funny skits.
Yeah.
I had a person who tried to store a bunch of garbage bags in my storage facility. Now, there's nothing wrong with storing garbage bags. Sometimes that is the most effective way to get stuff like clothes into a storage facility.
Maybe a comforter.
Could be. It could be anything. Now I'm helping him move in because that is the Christian thing to do.
That's right.
Plus, I want to inspect everything that they're putting in the storage facility just to make sure that I feel like it meets my Christian values. And I pick up a garbage bag, and what pops out of the bottom? It totally gives way. What pops out of the bottom? 3 handguns.
What? Oh,
really?
3 pistols.
No.
Now I look at this person and I say, no, what does a good Christian need with 3 pistols? And they looked at me dumbfounded, absolutely flabbergasted. I could tell they were searching for a lie. So I helped them. I offered them a little bit of a carrot. They put that carrot in their mouth, hard to chew, a carrot.
Right.
I mean, they're chewing for quite a while.
Okay, literal carrot.
I said, well, it's a literal carrot. I do keep carrots in the storage facilities.
Oh, wow.
Not just in the office. I keep individual carrots in all the storage facilities as well.
Oh, really?
Now, as they're chewing that carrot, they say, I tell them, you might need these guns if you are called upon by the Lord to join his army.
Right.
Well, yeah.
To defend his flock.
That's right.
That's what Jesus did. He defended his flock as a shepherd would do.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the best shepherd? Not the shepherd with the stick. Not the shepherd with the carrot, the shepherd with the gun.
Wow. Oh,
I love that imagery. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a garbage bag full of 3 handguns. I mean, that is surprising. And I'm sure you have also...
I've seen everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you have all sorts of surprising stuff.
I can't get surprised anymore because I have seen everything.
Oh,
I have seen everything.
Have you ever seen a human head?
Connected or disconnected?
I guess I was thinking disconnected because I was watching Storage Wars one time and they found one and I was always like,
sure.
Wow, that's interesting.
We found 3 feet.
Really?
What?
Never a head.
Was that the same guy with the 3 guns?
Yeah, it would be a heck of a coincidence if it was.
Oh, wow.
And yes, it was. It was the same guy with the three guns as the 3 feet.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, that is just...
There are some things where I throw up my hands and I say the Lord works in mysterious ways, but I guarantee he is working today. Because the Lord don't take days off. No, and neither do I. Yeah. Neither do I.
He just did.
We are Monday through Sunday. We do not take days off.
Yep. Now, what would you say if I was a gal checking in my stuff into my new storage space and you said, now, what's this here? And I said, well, it's a box of narcotics. And if you said, well, what's this big dress bag here? And I say, well, those are my sexy outfits I wear for men I'm not married to. What would you say?
Well, I mean, you brought it up, so I would first say, may I talk to your husband?
Okay.
Because I'll ask politely. And it's not that I don't think I can deal with a woman. It's that I'd rather deal with a family. Because when you are entering into a storage agreement, you're entering into a covenant. And a covenant is not just between, you know, a man and the person who is renting the storage facility. It is with a family unit. We want everyone to be on the same page. And in that instance, I would say, the sexy clothing that you like to wear when you're doing your going outs, is this something that has been agreed upon in the marriage? These narcotics, are they for medicinal purposes? Or are they for at least the bare minimum, are these narcotics for distribution to those who need narcotics? Because that's, I mean, it's important that we always look out for the needy.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Were you always just interested in storing stuff? I mean, this really seems like a passion of yours. And I just love it when people, you know, you say it was your calling. And I just got to imagine that at some point in your life, you just heard God going, you know, I want you to do storage.
Great. I'm so glad that you asked me that. I don't really often talk about my past, but I did grow up, this is hard to talk about, rich. I had very, very wealthy parents, and I always had so much stuff, so much stuff. And even when I got new stuff, I never wanted to get rid of my old stuff, which was hard for me because sometimes, you know, you don't have room for all of that stuff.
Right.
And I remember I was 5 years old and I looked at my dad and I said, I will never not have a place for all my stuff.
Awesome.
What a, I mean, from the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
3 decades later, here we are.
Wow.
I've been doing what I love for 33 years, putting people's stuff in storage.
Wow. Now, when you drive by a garage sale or a yard sale, what does that do to you emotionally?
I get boiling mad.
Oh, sure.
That's some of the most mad I ever get. And but I'm a Christian. So when I scream at people, I make sure I'm looking them in the eyes. I make sure I'm screaming at the tallest person present, because that is usually the leader or the one in charge. And I'm laying into them. I'm giving them a piece of my mind because what they're doing is against God and it's sin. Oh. And it's sin.
Wow.
I have never not stopped at a garage sale, and I have never not been the last customer at that day's garage sale. Oh. Because when I'm done, the garage sale is over. People are apologizing. We're signing a storage contract. And I'm going to see them next week when they drive all that stuff back over and they store it in my facility.
Wow, that's awesome.
I mean, and just good business practice too. I feel like, you know, you're incentivizing people not just with the carrots. You're really with your words.
Oh, yeah. And the carrots. To be clear, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The carrots are a big part of what I do.
I mean, you really can't throw babies out with bathwater anymore, at least not in Texas.
Never throw anything out.
Hey, you know, I do also want to just circle back is that I just think sometimes, Hallie, we think, oh, I grew up poor. My life is hard. But I hear what I hear what CKD is saying here.
CKD.
And I do want to get into what that means eventually. But
sure.
I hear what he's saying, which is, you know, growing up rich is also hard. Growing up with a lot of money is also difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that sometimes, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. Trust me. I go through this, it's my burden to carry, but I go through this every day in my life because I'm still, you know, relatively rich. I live off of my parents' inheritance. And it's a burden.
Yeah.
It's just as much of a burden living off of other people's money as it is to go out and work for your money.
Is it really? So
I believe
when you work for your money, are you doing it, but like, are you getting paid or is this just sort of a volunteer idea for you?
Everything that I make goes back into my ministry.
Oh, I love that.
Which is selling storage units.
Okay, awesome. So just the business, I
but guess. It's also literally a ministry.
Okay.
Oh.
Because once you enter into a service contract with me, that's a covenant, like I said.
Awesome.
And part of that covenant means that you're going to have to come back to the storage facility from time to time to get your stuff. And if you want to get your stuff, you have to go to church.
Awesome.
I love that.
That is so cool.
We have 20 by 20 climate-controlled units that are perfect. We can fit up to 150 people in one of those. And then I do my preaching. I let people know, you know, what my work is all about and what storing your stuff is all about and how storing is actually what? Saving.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? I'm saving people's souls.
Yes.
I'm catching them on both ends.
Wow. That is truly inspired. It is so cool.
I'm no big shot. I don't do what you all do. I would love to. I just do what I can do. I just do what CKD can do.
Now, I love that nickname and I'd love to get to it in a second, but I did have one question about, you know, having people in the storage facility. You know, speaking of people that don't have money, I have been reading that people are actually renting out storage facilities to live in because, you know, the cost of living is going so crazy right now. Do you ever have that sort of problem with, you know, poor people?
We got tons of people living in here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We got a little community going in there. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's insane what people are charging for rent these days, and I feel that. And that's why you can join my very intentional community. You can worship together. We can pray together. We have enough carrots for everyone. I mean, literal carrots. That's one of the primary sources of nutrition. Carrots got almost everything the body needs in it. But yeah, we have families living in here. We have single people living in here, soon to be married.
Good.
There is an engagement contract if you are single and you are moving into to the intentional storage community. But people are happier here than they would be living on the street, than they would be chasing an existence that doesn't actually give them any fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Because never throw anything away has to apply to people. Because if it doesn't, what can it apply to? It has to apply to people.
Right. Never throw a person away.
Never throw a person away.
Never.
Wow. Now, CKD, and I know Gray wants to get into your name, your actual name, in a second.
Sure.
But I had a question because I was telling my kids that I was going to be talking to you today, and they said, Mom, well, you know that Broad Ripple self-storage over on Castleton, you know that's where everybody... from the junior high and high school goes to park and, you know, to do, I don't know what they do in the, well, you know, we know what these kids are doing in the back of these cars.
Oh, really? I've never heard that.
Yeah. They're using, because your storage facility is, they can hide out. They can, you know, it's dark back there. The parking lot's empty at night and they can go back there and have at each other. Do you know about that?
You mean kill each other?
Yeah. I mean, they're killing each other back there.
Well, I think what they're doing is I think they're touching and rubbing kissing and hugging and humping.
Oh, okay.
And squeezing.
All right. I think I would have heard about teen murders.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, we have a sign in the office that says we have been, 480 days without a teen murder. So that's over a year. That's pretty good. And the one that ended up happening wasn't even our fault. It just happened on the premise. I mean, it's a big storage facility, but you're right. I mean, what I had to do was I had to take out all the streetlights in that parking lot.
Oh, really?
Because the only light that you need is the light from the building. If it's dark in the parking lot, it's going to encourage people to gravitate towards the building.
Oh, cool.
Free moths to a flame. Uh-huh. Exactly. So I had to take those lights out. So yes, the teens are out there in the parking lot and they are doing what it is they do, but it's a lesson because we have glass windows in the building. So I have my congregation. We look from the third floor, we look down at the teens in the parking lot, and I tell them, I see, that's fornication. That could be a murder. Uh-huh. These are all the reasons why we have to stay here, why we have to stay in the storage facility, why we have to be safe in the storage facility. Uh-huh. Because this is the kind of thing that's going on in the world.
That's
really
right.
Using it as a tool. I love that.
Everything can be a tool.
Including a carrot.
Including a carrot.
Away. And I'll tell
maybe
you what,
only a carrot.
If one of these boys knocks girls up in the parking lot and while they're necking in the car of your parking lot, well, we will make sure she has that baby. And who knows? Maybe some of the people who are living there would take it off her hands.
A lot of the people do. A lot of the people do take those babies.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we have a lot of babies in here, which is good because we need to grow the congregation, grow the flock, grow the next generation of storage warriors. I'm sorry. That term just slipped out. That's not a term that we use.
That's cool.
That's an internal term, but we don't float that around everywhere.
Okay.
These are just normal people who live in a storage facility and take care of, the babies of the world that the teenagers throw away.
I guess I just never considered that at the storage facilities that you run, that you really just got full communities of Christians, living inside, taking care of babies and whatnot. And I really hope that you can bring them here to Twin Hills at some point.
I mean, eventually, yes. That's the goal. Jesus had, apostles, and the apostles had disciples. There's a hierarchy to these things. I'm a member of Twin Hills. I love Twin Hills. But my congregation, what is necessary for me to grow my flock is to keep people in the storage facility. Now, they don't leave. They don't leave. They will leave one day when it is time for all of us to exit together, when the world no longer needs what we have stored, and the world needs to be in store for what we bring. But that day is not yet. The time is not nigh.
Wow. Okay.
And about how many people do you have so far living in the storage facilities?
350 warriors.
Warriors.
There's that term again. No. We are not storage warriors. That is an internal term that we just kind of throw around. It doesn't mean anything. We have, I would say, probably close to 700 people. I would say 350 of those warriors are of fighting age and ability. I'm sorry. They're just a normal amount of strength that one would consider to be necessary.
Right. You could be that strong just eating carrots all the time.
You would be surprised by how strong an orange you can get from just eating carrots all the time. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. Well, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth or thoughts in your head.
Wow, CKD, this is just fascinating, and I do want to get into that name in a bit.
Sure.
But one other question that I had, and I noticed sort of the leather cuff that you're wearing, which I thought was really cool, that just
yes.
says hand-stamped married not looking on it, which I think is a cool, is that sort of an alternative wedding ring that you have?
So this, thank you so much for taking attention to it. This is something that I require everyone to wear. Not exactly mine, married not looking, but you know, like I said, when you join the flock, you have to work your way up. You have to work your way up from the bottom, depending on who you are. Some people have little wristbands that say baby just born. Some people have wristbands that say single, engaged, not looking. Not looking is also just part of everyone's wristband. That's the backside of all the wristbands.
Oh, because you've already found the truth? Is that it?
Exactly. You've either found the truth or you found your partner, but no one is looking for anything anymore because they have found what they were looking for as soon as they crossed that threshold into the storage facility.
I see.
Whether they know it or not. Whether they know it or not.
So the first line is just kind of like a title, like I'm a baby, I'm a married guy, and then not looking, it's just everybody. No one's looking anymore.
You have to look at that every day to remind yourself that your journey is done. You are here. You are safe. You are part of what we are building. You are not leaving the storage facility. And all your stuff is with you. That's part of understanding that. That's what not looking means.
And how do you work your way up?
Well, sometimes, like I said, I was born rich. So I kind of started at the top. And then I just sat there. So I'm at the top. You're saying how do people in the flock work
right.
their way up?
Well, you said, you know, everybody's got different levels or whatnot. How are you kind of working your way up inside the storage facility? Is that, I mean, talk about storage wars. I mean, maybe.
Yes. Well, so, I mean, it's everybody kind of starts at the first introductory level, whether you're a baby or an unmarried person looking to be engaged. Everybody starts out at the first, you know, level. But the more that you learn, the more that you grow, the more that you help other people, the more that you participate and win 5 combat trials, the more that you become a more vital member of the flock that we are building.
Okay.
That is so cool. And those wristbands could work on multi-levels. Like if, you know, do you have anyone who's hard of seeing, you know, with advanced glaucoma or with like, advanced cataracts? And would their wristband say blind not looking?
That's a great question. We don't currently have anyone in that condition. Not that we wouldn't accept someone in that condition.
Okay.
But all of the warriors have perfect 20/20 vision, some even a little bit. There's that... I'm really getting sticky with that term. Yeah. Perfect 20/20 vision. Some have that 15/20 where they see things just a little bit closer than they actually are. Because it's just a prerequisite for the activities that we kind of demand of them.
And is that just because of the darkness inside the facility that the eyes have gotten stronger?
Oh, yeah. You got to train your eyes. You got to train your eyes. You got to train your spirit. You have to train pretty much all aspects of yourself in order to get to the point that the Lord requires of you. And that's a big part of our conditioning as well.
And what does the Lord require of you?
That's a great question. So, eat carrots. Throw nothing away. Marry as soon as physically possible.
Yes.
And build.
Mm-hmm.
Just those 4 simple things. Those 4 simple things. That's all. That's really all the Lord requires of you. And I guess the 5th thing is be ready.
Oh, yeah.
Because there will be a time where you are called.
Yeah.
But we don't know when that'll be. It's not now for sure.
And you could add walk justly and love mercy. But you know what? I just mostly want to say my hat's off to you because having that many people in a storage facility with no plumbing or running water,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to get challenging. I mean, I can see why you're using that word. These people have got to be tough.
They're tough. They're tough as nails. They're tough as nails. But they're as meek as snails. Is what I like to say. So, you know, we put on a tough exterior. And if you ever come to the storage facility to rent a unit, you'll see. You might feel a little bit intimidated because of the monochromatic robes that everyone is wearing. And just the general shavings are, I guess, for some people, you know, a little bit odd to see. You've never seen hairless people before, hairless people before. But once you really start learning and listening to the message, you start to get it. You start to get it, and it becomes a little less scary and a little less scary until Some days you wake up and you're not even screaming.
Wow.
You know, I guess, you know, just to back us up all the way to the beginning,
sure,
where you said, you know, you signed this contract and you put this clause in at the bottom, mm-hmm, about storing things that are only approved, you know, for a Christian to be storing. I just wonder, is sometimes someone signing up for something maybe that once they realize what they've signed, it's a little bit more, I would just say, you know, engaged or intense than someone just going, hey, I've got a bunch of my, you know, dead grandmother's furniture, I kind of wanted to put it here or something.
Yeah. I mean, and that's natural, right? I mean, we all, I feel like, sign up for things that we're not ready to sign up for. But you know what we do? We sign. And once we sign, we've made a commitment to ourselves and a commitment to the Lord. And we have to live in that commitment because we have to honor our promises. Because if not, you're a promise breaker. What's a promise breaker? A sinner.
Oh, that's right.
And what do 350 jacked, bald, orange guys do to sinners? That's a question you have to ask yourself because we can't answer that question for you. But I'll tell you what. Everybody always comes to the same conclusion. Welcome to living in a storage facility.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Well, I'm very happy to inform you, CKD, that I have two units at your self-storage. I've got one that's just filled up with old AC units and humidifiers, and I've got one that's filled up with stationary bikes and treadmills.
Well, I have to say that once your stuff joins the community flock, it no longer necessarily lives completely in your storage unit.
Oh, is that right?
So, I mean, for instance, we may have a 20x60 room in the storage facility plugged up to air conditioners and stationary bikes where people are required to pedal day and night while cooling down to power the entire facility. That may be something that we are doing because what's the point of putting stuff in there if it's not stuff to be put to use? We are putting everything stored to use.
Right, waste not, want not.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, CKD, and I do want to touch base on that name.
Always.
You know, something that I really pray for these people that, you know, have found themselves in maybe this temporary position of living in a storage facility and, yeah, you know, working out on a stationary bike to power the facility is that, you know, eventually, mm-hmm, they would grow into a place where they, you know, can have their own home or their own stuff that then they can, you know, fill a storage facility with the stuff once they accumulate it.
Sure, and we do, and that's the dream, right? Because we're all in this for something. So we do have select bands of the monks who do go and take homes. We don't all, I'm here. We don't all always stay in the storage facility.
Okay.
Because we have to, you know, if enough people aren't coming in and storing, we need resources.
Did you say monks?
Okay? Did I? I meant warriors. Nope, I didn't mean either one of them. These are just people. They're just people. They're just people who live in a storage facility. They're not warrior monks who invade people's houses and take their goods.
Now, CKD, and I know Gray, mm-hmm, does want to get to what those initials stand for, but I just...
And I came on to talk about that primarily.
Really neat because it makes me think of the word cicada because I wouldn't know how to spell cicada if my life depended on it. That's
okay.
One of those words you just got to speak into your phone and then get a look at it and go, wow. But
wow.
It's almost like what Yahweh is... for Jewish people, where it's just a YHWH, but if you put it all together, and I think
that's
kind of like
a bit of a wheeze or a sneeze.
CKD, it's like cicada, cicada. It's like cicada.
Cicada is an interesting analogy or even a metaphor because what do cicadas do? They go under the ground and you just don't hear from them for maybe 16 years.
Yeah.
Maybe our timeline is a little different. Maybe our timeline. Maybe we have. Let's do the math. 13 years before we pop up again. But once we pop up, what happens? They make a lot of noise.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. For a purpose. But at the end of the summer, what happens to all the cicadas?
They're long gone.
Yeah, they're long gone.
They're just husks.
They're just husks. They burn fast and they burn bright. But we don't have to worry about that for another 13 years.
Okay, yeah, just husks.
Just husks. Yeah.
So what does CKD stand for?
Christ kills demons.
I think we've had enough.
CKD,
CKD was played by JPC, John Patrick Cohen. He's the co-host of Hey Riddle Riddle, a podcast that Greg and I just guested on and had the best possible time. Go check them out and subscribe and follow him at Shark Barkman. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.